This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Welcome to Pick a Tale. I'm with Access Radio Taranaki, 104.4 FM. My name is Leslie Dowding, and I'm a storyteller. I enjoy telling stories in schools, libraries, parks, outside, inside, even in your home. I have many stories to share. Some are my own tales, and some are from collections from around the world. I hope to bring your world into the world of story. Wherever you are, may you enjoy every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Welcome to Pick a Tale. These stories are brought to you by the North Taranaki Art Society. There's been an amazing collection of people going through the art collection in the Gables. The Gables is in Brooklands Park. I hope you'll take some time to go and look at what's there. It has a wonderful retail shop for presents for Christmas, but also some really affordable items. Have a look and see. Very soon, the first week in December, the Arts Trail is hoping to put on a market, and I'll give you more details about that later. But check it out, especially at the weekend. The zoo will be open, the gardens are looking amazing, and you could take a picnic, but you could feast your eyes on superb pieces of art from artists all around Taranaki. Today's stories are called The Candle in the Harp, and it comes from a collection of very old Norse Anglo-Saxon tales. This is called The Birth of Norna the Guest. It was night. The hall of Lord Thord the Dane was lit with pine brands set along its walls. Servants were decking out the hall for a feast. There was to be singing and a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. For a child had just been born to the Lord Thord the Dane. Lord Thord sat in his high seat. He held his golden wine cup in his hand, and he drank deep its red wine. He was full of joy and pride. His ears were astrain for the beat of hooves out in the night, for he had sent a man hot foot to the hall of his wife's six brothers. He'd sent to tell them the glad news and to bid them come with speed and have a feast with him. But no beat of hooves did he hear. No door opened, and he sat with his wine cup, and three servants came. He didn't hear them coming, and all of a sudden there they were. They were unusual servants. They were tall and big like giants, and they loomed in the torchlight and the firelight. The Lord rose from his high seat. "We three have come to bring your son birth gifts," said they. "We are not ordinary servants. We are maidens of the giants. We will spin your son's fate, for we are the three Norns," said the third maiden. Lord Thord bent his head in awe, and out from the torchlight hall he took them to the foot of the stone stair that wound up and up into the thick wall of the tower. Pine brands lit the stair. Like tall queens, the three Norns passed at each bend of the stair, out of gloom, into torchlight, and out. Loud on the stone stair rang Lord Thord's tread, but the foot of the three tall Norns made no sound. Their shadows cast a strange shape on the turret's walls. High in the tower, at the top of the stair, was the bower of the Lord Thord's wife. He went in, and he was followed by the three Norns. Candles of white beeswax cast a soft light on Lord Thord's wife, and she lay in a silken bed with long fair hair, and near her slept her newborn son in a silver cradle. On stall of ash wood by the cradle, a white beeswax candle was lit, and from her bed Lord Thor's wife saw the three Norns loom tall like giants in the firelight and the candlelight in the gloom. She did not need to be told who they were. Her eyes grew big and she held her breath. Round the silver cradle stood the three Norns. They bent a keen gaze on the newborn. Below, in the night, the beat of hooves rang out. There was a blast on a horn, and it hung high in the air, the sound ringing out. "Open the gates," said someone. "Oh, it must be my brothers," Lord Thord's wife said. "Will you not go down to greet them, my lord?" But he stood still by his wife's bed and he shook his head. "They can wait. I must hear what these fates of the Norns spin out for our son." The first Norn bent her grave face over the boy as he slept. She held her hand high and said, "Fair of face and full of grace shall he be, strong and wise and brave in battle." Lord Thord, as he stood by his wife's bed, felt full of pride, and the mother's face was bright with joy. Then the second Norn bent her grave face over the boy as he slept and held out her hand. "Skill in art of song shall he be, such skill that he shall wear the cloak of seven tints that is worn only by the finest harpist in the land." Lord Thord, as he stood by his wife's bed, felt full of pride again, and the mother's face was bright with joy. And then the third Norn bent over the boy. She held out her hand. There was a clank and a clang of steps. They rang out on the stone stair that led up to the bower. Suddenly the door of the bower was flung open, and into the bower, with loud stamping and shouting and bursting, came the six brothers of the Lord's wife. And as they came out of gloom into the candle glow, they did not see first the grave Norn and her hand held high to bless the child. And in the rush they made to look at the boy asleep in the silver cradle, they thrust her aside. She became so angry that she had been pushed away by these six Danes. A strange noise came from her throat, and loud did she chant, "To flout a Norn is to ask for death, and so death shall come. The child shall live only as long as this candle by his cradle shall last." At this, the six brothers stood still as stone. The Lord went pale, and the mother wept bitterly. What had they done to her son? And all eyes went to the candle on the ash wood stall by the cradle. With fear and dread, they saw how near it was to its end. It had been lit as soon as the child was born, and now it had burnt so low. Oh my, will it burn out? Swift as wind went the first Norn to the cradle. Swift as wind, she took up the candle and blew out the flame. She went to bed. Smoke still rose from the wick as she put the candle end in the hand of the mother. "Keep it safe for the boy," she told her, "till he's 12 years old. then give it into his hands. Bid him keep it as safe as you have kept it. Bid him keep it unlit till the time shall come when the god of Thor falls at sunrise. Then let him light it, for then, and not till then, will it be time for him to die. Lord Thor drew in a long, deep breath as his fear for his son's life fell from him. His wife, six brothers, came to clasp his hand, and in her silken bed, the mother began to dry her tears. She held the candle end tight in her hand. Again, her face turned to joy. And then out from the bower went the three Norns, as tall as the giant queens. No one saw them go. No one saw the door open. No one saw the door close. But they had been there. They no longer were. And then down from the bower went Lord Thord and his wife's six brothers. They went with a clank and a clang of steps on the stone stair. And down to the hall they went to keep the boys' feast. And in the firelight and the torchlight they sat at the feast and made merry. Golden wine cups they drank deep of red wine. They kept the revels into the night. They gave the child his name. Jest was the name they gave him. But from lip to lip among the men flew the tale of the boy's birthnight, and how the eldest Norn blew out the candle flame to save his life. And to keep this ever in mind, men gave the boy the name of Norna Gest. And as Norna Gest grew from babe to child, the birth gifts of the three began to show. He was fair of face and full of grace, and he ran in skill in art and song and harp. And at the time the boy became 12, his mother kept the candle safe in a small box of gold. The golden box she bore night and day by her pillow. But when he was 12, the time came for him to go to the Lord Thord's hall, that the best in the land might teach him his art. And Skald came. This was his name. He was the man who gave his life to the art of song and of harp. And when Norna Gest came to his mother's bower to bid her farewell, she led him to the ashwood stall that had held his birth candle on his birth night. He saw that on it now stood a new harp. The harp had a gilded frame in the form of a bird, and in the bird's right wing a gem was set. "This harp is my farewell gift to you, my son," she said. He was lit with full of joy. He sat down on the stool, he drew the harp to him, and he plucked the strings as though he had played all his little life. The tone was rich. "This is a beautiful gift. This harp will be with me all my life. Let it be dear to you for your only, my son. And may that life be long, for now I must show you the secret of the harp." She set her hand on the gem in the right wing of the bird, and a small door flew open, and in the gilded frame of the harp, "Look," she said. And within the frame, he saw a secret nest of red silk, and in the nest of the red silk lay a small white candle end. "A candle end in a harp? Look well at the candle end. For 12 years it has been the thing most dear to me, and from now on it must be the thing most dear to you." And she told him of his birthnight, and she told him of his birth gifts, and she told him of the terrible fate that the third Norn had given. She told him the first Norn had swiftly blew it out, and how she had been given the candle end. "I had this harp frame made for you, that it might be with you night and day. Keep it well. Let it pass into no other hand. Do not light it till the time is ripe for you to die." "When will that be?" "When the god Thor falls at sunrise." "What can that mean?" "I do not know," she said. So Norna Gest left the Lord Thord's hall and went away to be taught all the art of song and harp, And with him went the harp and his mother's gift. And the old sage went through all the land. He wore the cloaks of seven tints, and the only first thing he ever saw or heard was the art from the man's lips of old, and his harp was with him all his life. And when he played it, people drew near, for the tones were like magic. Men held their breath, but no one knew what the candle in the harp meant except himself. And when his old teacher died, he knew it was time to roam the land by himself. And with his cloak and with his harp, he set off. Years went by, and Norn Gest became of age when men were astounded by his skills. He not only could play the harp, but he could fight as well. He was sharp with his sword, and now the rest of his life seemed to be mapped out. He was on a quest. He was wise and he was brave, and people urged him to come and help them. Until one day the king fell. Norn Gest was there by the king's side, for he had no fear, for spear and dart and slinging stone had no power to kill him. Sword and battle axe had no power to kill him. Nothing seemed to hurt him. He seemed to have an invisible cloak around him. And so he grew older and wiser, and people came to him for help. But he never returned to his father's place. He never returned to the Lord. And one day, still many years on, when old men had passed him by and boys had told him of stories of old, he too began to feel old. He saw sons of sons and sons of sons, and he thought of his homeland, and most of all he thought of his mother. He lived on through the years. He began to feel tired. He began to long for a peaceful life of no war. "I wonder when I will die," he said, remembering his mother's words who'd passed so long ago. His harp was always by his side, and so too, in that secret part, was that tiny, small candle. "I wonder when the god Thor will fall at sunrise." People came to visit, and he always asked the same question. "Can anyone tell me?" he said. But the men of Norway knew nothing of what the gods were doing. Gods begin to die, but how and when? "For until they come, I will live forever. I do not wish this," he said to himself. Men say that the King Olaf of Norway has a new god in place of an old one. "If old gods begin to die then," said Norn Gest, "if the king has a new one, it may be the one that can help me. I think I should travel to Olaf of Norway, the king. I think I should go and ask him." Now Norn Gest still had that old cloak of seven tints, and he still had his bird harp on his back. And so he decided to travel to the land of the Danes, and he took a ship across the small sea, north to Norway, up higher. He went and found the King Olaf's hall, but he couldn't find him anywhere. "King Olaf has ridden out to the dales," said the servants. "He rides to and fro to tell the men of the land of his new god. If you wish to see him, you would have to go and find him." So Norn Gest travelled out into the dales to find the king. A wet mist lay on the hills and fells as he drew near to the Hundrop, and out of the mist he saw two looming throngs of men standing face to face. A place or two in front of each one stood a man. He came close and he saw that one throng was clad with trim and stood in neat ranks. "Oh, that must be the king's men," he said to himself. "And the tall kingly man who stands a pace in front must be the king." He saw that the other throng was a throng of men who were wild and ill-clad, not in ranks and hard on each other's heels. "They must be the men of the Dales," said Norman Guest. King Olaf's speech came to him on the wind and in the skirt of the throng. "And this is true, I tell you, Gunnbrad," he said to the tall men, and stood face to face. "I have a new god, and the god has made me new things." "Lord," said Gundran, "has any man seen this god?" "My god is not to be seen," said King Olaf. "Our Thor is to be seen, Lord," Gunnbrad said. "He is not out today as this is wet. But if this new god you tell us of can do as much, tell him we wish to be seen him in the dawn. We wish to see him face to face. We wish to battle. We will bring Thor out, and you'll see that he is the true god, not yours." And King Olaf was mad. "I will come back at dawn," he cried. And his men went into the mist and disappeared, whereas Gunnbrad and the wild men of the Dales went off into the mist the other way. So Norngest went into the steps of King Olaf. He saw the king and the men reach the hall and go within to spend a night, and he followed. And he went to the end of the table where the king sat, and he asked him a question. Thank you for listening to Pick a Tale. Look forward to you tuning in next week and listen to the next exciting stories from Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM. Check out the website and the podcasts. In case you were too busy to sit down and listen this time, you can choose your own time. Thank you from Leslie Dowding.
This show was first broadcast on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM, thanks to New Zealand On Air.